Hello, and welcome to Media Ministry at Holden Village. Today's date is July 19th, 2004. Today's session number is BUM 2004-01. Today's speaker is Madeline Busey. And the lesson for today is Discovering Group Spiritual Direction. Let's listen in.
Joining me this morning, I'm supposed to give a signal to people in the media room, so we're ready to begin. And I'm Madeline Busey, and this session is called Invitation to Group Spiritual Direction. I call it an invitation pretty intentionally because this won't be an experience of group spiritual direction, but rather some conversation and reflections about what spiritual direction is, and then an invitation to participate in a group if you would like to, and then we would schedule that. And I'm happy to, sometimes small groups for group spiritual direction get together without a facilitator, but oftentimes it's very helpful, especially the first time to experience it, to have somebody who can guide the process. And that way, that helps you get started in a group. So, I think it would be helpful for me if we just really quickly went around the room and introduced ourselves, your name and where you're from, and if you want to say a word about what brought you here this morning. That's always helps me to know what made you decide to come to this session. I'm Madeline Busey, and I live in Denver, Colorado, and I'm here for 3 weeks in the village serving as the spiritual director in residence.
I'm Liz Erickson. I'm from Austin, Minnesota, and I've always been kind of curious and interested in what spiritual direction is, and looking forward to being now.
Hi, I'm Jim Hermanson from Cambridge, Minnesota. This is my first time at Holden. In terms of coming to this, I think my spiritual journey sort of is just beginning in the last few years, so I haven't gone very far and continue to try to sort out where I'm headed, so some direction might be helpful.
Thank you. I'm Jan Hermanson, and I'm from Cambridge. My husband, Jim, and I'm here because he's here.
Thank you. I'm Clint Lively from Bellingham, Washington, and I arrived yesterday for the first time. So I decided to come to this group because I feel comfortable with the silence part, but the talking is it's definitely not my strong point. So I kind of wanted to get a taste of what that's like and maybe stretch a little bit.
It's just the opposite of a lot of people.
I'm Karen Hayes, and I'm from Bloomington, Minnesota. And in our church, we have something that's called the Moms Group. And they've met for years. It's a group of women that have been friends and raising kids together. We usually do a book study, and it feels kind of like we're running out of books or running out of direction for that. So I thought maybe I could bring something that would be interested in using.
I'm Goldie Niehaus from Sacramento, and for 3 years I've been listening to Pastor Robin about the wonders of Holden Village. And so we got a group together, and there's six of us here, I think.
Six or seven.
So, and it's everything I expected, I think, already.
Great.
My name is Larry Quainton, and I'm from Sacramento, and I'm here with the same group, so.
Taking it on again.
My name is Roy Santry. I'm from Rochester, Minnesota. And to ponder some interior work for myself would be good. 20, 25, 30 minutes of silence is a bit threatening, but see where that could go.
I'm Chris Burns from Bloomington, Illinois. Yeah, spiritual direction has been mentioned as a way that our church might want to expand our ministry. And, so I thought I'd find out a little more about it and take that back.
Thank you.
I'm Sue Pumplin. I'm from Columbia, Maryland. And our congregation, we have a deacon in our congregation, and she has done some spiritual direction in groups. I started out as part of one of those, but couldn't continue for a variety of reasons. And so I was interested in seeing more about the process.
I'm Corey Hankins. I'm from White Bear Lake, Minnesota. I'm interested in somewhat my own spiritual journey and improving that, or not improving it, but just being more being more involved in God in my life. And if that leads me to helping some groups, that would be awesome. So I guess I'm more here for my own personal journey.
I'm Kim from Colorado. This is my last day at Holden. I wanted one more good session. And she's my friend.
I was going to say, that doesn't put the pressure on at all.
And I'm Kimberly Weiss from Kent, Washington, and I've had a spiritual director for about 3 years and been very intrigued and interested in group spiritual direction. So on our last day, last morning, we get to hear a little, and I'm, she's with me actually, I brought the group.
I'm Laura, and I'm from Covington, Washington, just next to Kent. And I'm here at Holden, serving in WeTry. And I came because not our youth group, but our young adult group is very dwindling, and it's very hard to get pregnant wives and fathers and everything that come, even though they are still in their early 20s. And so I think spiritual direction is something new. You don't say the word devotion, so you're all scared. I'm like, oh, I've done it before. Trying to investigate.
I'm Judy Martin, and I've been here a few times before and had the opportunity to visit a spiritual director each time, and it's actually been quite memorable, so I'm here for more as well.
My name is Susie DeBoss, and I'm also from Minnesota, Minnetonka. And I have had no experience with spiritual direction in any type of setting, so I thought I would investigate it through the.
My name is Jeannie Hume. I'm from Stockton, California, outside of Sacramento. And I was invited by a co-worker to join his church group from Sacramento to come up here. I thought, what a wonderful idea. And I don't have a church home here in Stockton, so I'm on my own personal spiritual journey to find out how I fit in as part of the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Robin Hartwig, and I've been doing spiritual direction with the director for many, many years now. I am really excited about it. I fully support it, and I actually thought I was in Bonhoeffer.
You excuse me.
And then I got seated next to the teacher.
I'm so glad you're doing this.
Go ahead and tease. Thank you.
I'm so glad she didn't feel trapped.
Okay, group spiritual direction is a bit different than one-on-one spiritual direction, but it taps into the same tradition. And I think a lot of what I'll be saying about group spiritual direction applies also to what happens in individual spiritual direction. But there is a difference. But I would be happy to also then talk with any of you about what is spiritual direction when it's done one-on-one. In conversations up on the ark or over a meal or whatever, just grab me, and I'm happy to have that conversation with you. And also, I think all of you maybe by now know about the sign-up sheet up on the kiosk, if anybody would like to have a session in spiritual direction. But group spiritual direction, as I've come to know it, was developed by, there's probably more than one model. There is more than one model for it. The model that I use and that
I'm familiar with, that I've participated in and had some training in, comes from the Schlaim Institute for Spiritual Direction, which is home-based in the Washington, D.C., Maryland area. And there is a book in the bookstore, which I'm happy to plug on behalf of the bookstore, that I ordered that's written by Rosemary Doherty, called Group Spiritual Direction. And it goes much more in depth into the whole topic, and it also describes fully the process in this book. It's also on the website for Schlaim Institute. And
how do you spell Schlaim?
S-H-A-L-E-M, and it's pronounced Schlaim. And I'll write that website up on the board. And the whole process that I'll describe is available on that website, along with some things in print about group spiritual direction and about spiritual direction generally. There's a number of websites that you can tap into that are helpful if you're a web person. I'm not a big web person, but when I need certain things, then I know where to, I can go to them. But just initially, when some of you are more familiar than others, when you hear the term spiritual direction, or a spiritual director, what comes to mind for you? What would you expect it is, or what do you think it is? Just no idea, and that's why you're here.
Well, maybe to lead you to spiritual maturity, which probably we already have and just don't realize it.
I want to emphasize the last part of what you said, that we already have, but just don't realize it. Yeah.
I'm guessing you ask questions that force us to think through things.
And because I want to know where, I don't want to make assumptions about things, too, but yeah. So does that...
Well, spirituality is so hard to put your hands around,
yeah.
To define or anything. So it's hard to think that you could direct something like that. So that's what is interesting to me as to how you...
Okay. So the direct, and it's the directing word that I'm particularly concerned about. So... Yeah, how can you direct the spirit when you say the spirit blows where it will? Yeah, okay. Thank you. That's a really important piece to say, too.
So for me, then, part of it is how do you tap into that? Or how do you make that a presence in your life? How do you use that to guide your life? So basically, how do you tap into that spirit and that,
I guess when I thought about it, there's a part of me that is a tad bit skeptical because I don't understand it, and that yet I know that in discussions with some people, they are like a spiritual director. I mean, they're spiritual, you have spiritual conversations, and that is so life-giving and so fulfilling. So it's really kind of an interesting.
It is.
You know, you're not quite sure, like you're saying, how can you...
Yeah, it scares me to speak about it because to try to define it limits it.
Yeah,
it can't be limited.
I would look to the director or to you as the director to toward the word spiritual direction for a group, not a counseling direction for the group. That's what I understand your task to be, and that's what I understand spiritual direction to be. That it's not another school of counseling, but it is that word spiritual.
Yep, it's definitely not therapy or
counseling. Not therapy. Yeah.
And group spiritual direction isn't an advice-giving group.
Yeah.
And we'll get more to that later.
Yeah.
So I have a question. Is spiritual animate or is it something within us or something that we're trying to trying to project on other people so that they will become spiritual? Where are you taking this?
Okay. Well, I can never imagine spiritual to be inanimate. by its very nature, I think. Why don't I just hang on to that and make sure we come back to that. Any other things, and then I'll go on.
Well, I'm kind of interested. Some people, or are you a born-again Christian? And I don't know what that is supposed to encompass. And if there's another direction I should know about or something. Because I'm born into the church and I've always been there, and I figure that I'm, I've never been under being able to really understand when they say, are you a born-again Christian? And this, like it just happens with a flash or something, because sometimes they ask everybody to come up, you know, and for those that want to be born-again Christians.
And that's certainly that within the whole, you know, somebody said spirituality is so kind of complex and multifaceted, and it's really ubiquitous in our culture right now, the books on spirituality. And what we mean, different ones of us mean by spirituality varies depending on the tradition, the religious tradition in which we're raised, the one that we have grown into, the one we've chosen to leave because it maybe stifled us, or maybe people, and there's different language and things that different people use. And so when I say, if somebody asks me, am I born again, and I said yes, I might not mean the same thing as they do because I have a different theological framework about what that might mean. So, and part of what we need to do for one another is listen for the meaning behind words that we use and probe that. Let me just say first a little bit about spiritual direction generally. It's an ancient tradition that comes really out of the monastic tradition, and there was always a spiritual director that traditionally would guide the new novitiates who had arrived and were discerning whether or not they really had a call to the monastic life. And so they would have a director who would work with them in that discernment process. I think in some of those ancient traditions, the director was much more directive than what I think contemporary spiritual direction is about. And that director might in fact be trying to kind of guide them into a particular spirituality that was consistent with the rest of the community if they were going to be part of that community. And so the director might be much more directive and almost an authority figure in the life of the novitiate. As it's evolved, and especially now, and there is a renewal of interest in spiritual direction and an expansion of it into traditions other than Roman Catholic. And another place where it's been really prevalent has been in the Episcopal Church. But now Protestants, Lutherans, Methodists, Presbyterians, others have become interested in spiritual direction, and programs of training are very ecumenical, and even sometimes interfaith. When we speak about spiritual direction in the Christian tradition, the basic assumption is that the director is the Holy Spirit. That the person who's called a spiritual director is more of a companion or a guide in that process of opening ourselves to the and recognizing God's Spirit present in our lives, active within us. And I love this summer's theme, the summon out what I shall be. To see how the Spirit is working within us to summon us out, because all of us are created in the image of God. And so the Spirit, if we are created in the image of God, part of our tradition says that God lives and dwells within us. And the spirit is not something that's just or only out there to be accessed, but also a living, dynamic presence in our lives. And I like to think of it in a very Trinitarian sort of way. And some people, at different times in their life, God comes to them in creation, in kind of a first-person God creator sort of way, and so their spirituality is nurtured in the creation, in other ways. Sometimes it's more in our relationship with Jesus Christ and our need for forgiveness and redemption in our lives, and other times it's a sense of that, just the holy otherness of God that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. And that where the naming of God is something much more elusive and hard to pin down, as you say. So for me, it's to engage in spiritual direction with one other person or in a small group is really an opening ourselves to the holy mystery of God and to believe in God's promise that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of you. And that we, in the process, in discipline, and I'm going to talk more about the discipline of group spiritual direction, we really tap into God's presence, and it's more a sense of taking that time, and that's often what the silence is for, is to just get rid of the clutter, to have some time to breathe, to get quiet and to be open to God's presence so that the busyness of our lives, the clutter of our worry list or to-do list or whatever it is, can, so that God can find some space in our lives and that we can make space for God and then listen. Spiritual direction is as much about listening as it is about talking. In fact, I would say probably the balance ought to be a little bit more on the listening side. So for a one-on-one direction relationship, you work with a director who's for the most part trained in listening and how to guide people and maybe has some resources available to them for some spiritual exercises that you can be introduced to talk about your prayer life, discernment questions in your life, and to listen together with you for the voice of God and to say, where is God leading you? Helping you to recognize where God is already present in your life and is calling you out. And to do that with a companion is helpful. Sometimes on our own, we're not sure if it's God's voice we're hearing, our own agendas that we're listening to, and another person helps us sort out the difference oftentimes, and a group of people can do that with us and be there with us. A group that is committed to each other for a period of time to be in group spiritual direction are people who are willing to walk with us on the journey, to listen and care for us, to listen deeply, and who are willing to share and open up their own journey to the rest of us in the group. I'm going to describe, let me say a little bit about who might be in a group of spiritual directors. For a group spiritual direction. And then I want to briefly describe the process, which I have very skeletally put behind me on the board. And then go back and maybe reflect with you a little bit about what my experience has been. I've been in groups now for the last 6 years or so. And I've been in three different groups, and they've all each been a different experience. And so it can change with depending on who's in the group, but I want to describe this particular, and then just let you ask more questions, and we'll talk some more. And if along the way, if I say something that just makes no sense at all, just please interrupt me, and say, I don't understand what you're saying. otherwise, I'll assume that you do. So people who participate in group spiritual direction need not be people who are trained in spiritual direction. Sometimes it is helpful if everybody is, if people in the group have never been in a relationship of spiritual direction with a one-on-one director, and so don't have any sense of, well, I'm not really sure what's supposed to happen. It can be helpful to have somebody who is part of the group as the facilitator and guide to the process, to keep you on track, to help be the timekeeper so that you don't have to worry about it, and to help if it deviates from what this discipline is really about, to just gently bring people back and say, so if I'm sharing that I'm really seeking God's guidance for a particular situation in my life that involves other people, sometimes it gets real tempting in the group to say, well, you know, tell me what that person did that made you feel that way, or to learn more about the other person, or to learn more about the dynamic, and to lose focus of what's God bringing to that situation. And so the guide can gently bring the conversation back, or when, and I'm probably jumping ahead of myself, but when we get to the response part, when we respond to the person who's just shared, some of us really have to resist the temptation to say, oh, that's just like what happened to me, and then start talking about me, rather than focusing on the person that we're supposed to be focusing on at the time. And the person who's guiding the group can help and just say, let's keep the attention on Kim for right now, or whoever we're focusing on. So a primary thing is for people who are willing to commit themselves to an honest relationship with God. And our honesty about our relationship can be talking about when God is absent in our lives as much as when God is present. We're not in a group to impress each other with how wonderfully spiritual we are. It's there to come with our struggles, our hopes, our yearnings, our longings for God in our life. As whether we're in a time of the dark night of the soul, or whether we're in a time of just absolute elation about how good we feel about God at the time. You know, it's, we meet each other where we're at, and to be present and honest and authentic as possible. And that requires a lot of trust. Wholehearted participation in the discipline of the process of prayerful listening and response. And I'm going to talk more about that, what prayerful listening is. Confidentiality. A group really commits itself to confidence. You do not take what's brought to the group outside of the group. You do not talk about one another or the process outside of the group, only within the group. And finally, a willingness to open your own spiritual journey for consideration by others. The depth of sharing and the level of trust isn't dependent upon us being alike or out of the same tradition, speaking the same language, having mutual interests or common experiences or backgrounds. Sometimes that can help. Sometimes having diversity in the group can be really helpful, so that my lens is expanded. Sometimes diversity in the group can be a stumbling block. If we just speak such a different language that we kind of struggle with each other's personal theology or spirituality to the extent that we just have a hard time listening. And if we discern that, then we need to be able to say, this isn't the group for me. You know. And the same is true in a one-on-one direction with a spiritual director. I usually, when I meet people for the first time or two, say the first couple times are partly about us mutually deciding,
whether this is a good match. So that's really important. The process, very briefly, with an ideal group size is 3 to 5 people. You don't want less than 3, then it's one-on-one. More than 5, there simply isn't time. You'll get too fatigued in the process to really attend to everybody in the group. I find that 3 or 4 is optimal, and I've been in groups of 3 and 4. I'm in a group of 3 right now. And if somebody can't come, we simply don't meet. And we reschedule and find a different time. But it begins with that period of silence. We meet in the morning so that our heads are a little less cluttered than if we would, you know, by the day's activity. But we all, you know, I usually, when I wake up, my to-do list starts, and I've got concerns at home, and I've got things at work, and I live in Denver, and the group I meet with is in Boulder, Colorado, and that's about 30 minutes away. And I try to spend that time just trying to do some emptying, kind of uncluttering my head. But it doesn't always happen that way. And so that time of silence is a time when we enter into the time, into silent prayer. If you're familiar with centering prayer, contemplative prayer, it's a very time of not so much talking to God or even trying to listen to God at that point, as just a self-emptying time to open ourselves to God's presence. It's really important to be comfortable physically, to sit in a way that's comfortable, to do some breathing. The practice of centering prayer always begins with some deep breathing, and some people talk about kind of spirit in, kind of breathing in, you know, Spirit of God, inspire me to breathe in is to receive and pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit, God's presence, and to exhale to kind of get rid of the clutter in my life, the busyness, to make room for God. It's also then for a time to just let the Holy Spirit work in you and help decide what you're going to bring to the group that day. Sometimes when I'm driving to the group, I think, this is what I know I want to talk with about in the group. And after that period of silence, something totally different comes out of my mouth, and I'm like, where did that come from? And it's what I'm supposed to talk about that day. So there's some mystery involved in all of this, and really trusting the Spirit to lead us in the direction that we're supposed to go. And so that time, and then out of that initial period of silence, one person will offer to say, "I'll begin." And they then bring to the group and talk for 10 to 15 minutes. And during that time, the others in the group simply listen. You don't start responding. The only time that it would be appropriate at that time for other people in the group to speak is if you really need clarification. I'm not sure I'm understanding what you meant when you said this. And then to ask them if they can maybe say it in another way or explain it. But it's a time of deep, prayerful listening. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Then we go back into a couple minutes of silence. So during that time, I might say, I've been really struggling in my prayer life. I somehow am not able to find the time to pray. I go to pray and my mind might be talking about our prayer life. I've had people in the group that I've been in, one woman
was in a really painful time with some health problems with her daughter, and she just felt at her wit's end about that and really just needed the group's prayer support and struggling with her own feelings about her daughter's illness, how to be present to her daughter in that struggle. So it can be life situations, it can be our spiritual, more obvious spiritual journey questions, it can be discerning about whether to take a new job or how to be different in the job that I'm in so that I can thrive rather than die in it. Whatever is part of your life and knowing that God wants to be and is part of every facet of our life. So there's no subject that's out of bounds. It's anything that God leads us to talk about in that group time. Then we go back into this 3 to 5 minute period of silence. And that keeps us who've been listening from immediately jumping in with advice or a quick fix or you know, whatever would immediately come to mind, and instead offer what we've heard to God in prayer and to say, God, what is it you want me to bring, you know, to this person? It's a time for images to come in and offer an image. If some people are visual, some people are not, some people are so familiar with scripture that as they've listened to somebody, there's a scripture passage or a psalm or a prayer or a hymn that just bubbles up and comes to mind, and then they share that with that person. And that's what then happens in the response. Because then it's the time for the person who's presented to listen. And the people who've been listening just say, this is what I heard, this is the image that I got, this is the prayer that came to me for you. Sometimes we have no words to offer. And we just simply say, all I can do is just, you know, hold you before God and be with you in prayer. Because it's not for us to fix. Sometimes we need to just let people be in that painful place and say, you're not alone in that. I'm with you, and in and through me, God is with you. That we become God's presence for one another out of that time. So that, and then we go back into, this is kind of, the next one is kind of the transition time. The person who has received the comments of the group might want to jot a few notes down about what they've heard so that they don't lose them. If there's something that's like, oh, they really want to take that and spend some time with that thought later in their own silence and don't want to lose it, but want to be freed up then to listen to the person who's going to go next. It can be helpful to do that. But that period of silence then, again, is to just hold the person who's just spoken in prayer and to breathe and make some space for the next person. And then the process repeats itself. And the next person shares. And we listen. It's the same process, and it's repeated until each person is shared. In the group that I'm in right now, there's three of us. It usually takes a good 2 hours for our time together. And sometimes we need a bathroom break and sometimes we don't. And so you have to kind of listen to your bodies as well as to God and decide whether you need a break during that time. If you do take a break, I think it's best to not chit-chat during that time, but just simply go take the break and come back and kind of keep silence during that time. Otherwise, you can really kind of break, you know, interrupt the process. Let me just stop there and let any questions about anything I've said. Sometimes it's really hard to know when you haven't experienced it,
Does one of the three take the lead in directing?
No, in The assumption is that we are spiritual companions or guides to one another. And so we are all kind of mutually responsible for the process. And the listeners become the guide or director for the person who shared. And then it switches. And when there's a facilitator present, again, it's not that person to kind of be the ultimate expert or, you know, the one who gives the real word of wisdom. The facilitator's job is to more keep the group on track and to say, you know, that's sounding a little bit like advice that you're giving. Let's try to listen for God's voice rather than giving our own wisdom. It doesn't mean that we don't share a word of wisdom. There's a fine line between receiving kind of a sense of that spirit of wisdom that's God-given, that the Spirit gives us to share with our brother or sister, and giving advice. And I think we just have to be discerning and careful about that. Catch ourselves. One thing I didn't put on here, too, is that it's also recommended that at the end of a time, a group kind of reflect a little bit about their time together and just say, not, gee, we were really good today, but, you know, did we get off track today? Or, you know, were we tempted to do some things that we've committed that this would not be about and stuff, so.
To understand how you're describing the roles, then the facilitator would, other than keeping things on track, would also share, though. Would also have an opportunity.
They could. The person who is a facilitator could be a group participant or not.
Okay.
And it's done both ways. At Shalane, where they do big trainings in group spiritual direction, they actually have where people from the same metro area come together, and there could be 20 people who are parts of 5 different groups. And each group has a facilitator to help, especially new groups, and then may leave the group and let them be on their own.
So when you say facilitator, are you meaning spiritual director?
I'm
a more formal role as a spiritual director for a group.
I mean, I know it can be both ways.
It can be a group that gathers
and you share that facilitator. But sometimes there are groups that has a more formal...
Formal director
present.
And it can be both ways. I think the process that I would describe really assumes that we all share that equally. And a facilitator, if there is a facilitator with the group, would help the group keep time, move it on, so that you're not as self-conscious about that. And then maybe help the kind of debriefing process at the end.
I had another question about how frequently you meet our spiritual director.
Typically, groups meet about once a month. I think it can be more frequently or less frequently, and it's also typical to kind of covenant together to meet for initially for like a 6-month period. Mm-hmm. It kind of takes a while for the group to evolve and develop that trust and to grow into and get comfortable with the process so that it's just kind of second nature rather than a subconscious kind of process. And that also offers the opportunity at the end of 6 months for somebody to opt out, to decide, you know, this was good and wonderful, but, you know,
when it's
we'll move
been
on.
Enough or it's gotten you to where
yeah.
you want to be.
Yeah. Another thing, and this is kind of an aside, but some people, there's a tradition in the Quaker tradition called a clearness committee. And it's very much, you know.
Did you just hear what I said?
No!
It sounds just like a Quaker clearness
committee. And I've never participated in that. I've read about it and heard people speak of it. But sometimes, and one time my personal spiritual director had offered to convene a clearness committee or kind of a group for me when I was really trying to discern a major vocational change or not in my life. Mm-hmm. And in that way, then sometimes you could bring, it would be a little different than this, mm-hmm. because it would really be one person mm-hmm. who really is seeking to discern and seeking God's and the Spirit's wisdom through a group of people mm-hmm. to help them get clear and discern whether what's God's will and what's my will in this situation. And that way then, that would be a little different. And that would have a kind of a set period yeah. of time.
And there's a difference in the response in that advice or guidance is given for that kind of
a period? No, I don't think so.
It's just focused on one.
It's yeah. just focused on one person okay. rather than that mutuality.
And on a specific
discernment that's happening. Yeah. And in a group, it can be interesting. Sometimes the other thing is to stay a little bit fluid. In this initial period of silence, everybody's kind of discerning what it is they're going to bring to the group. And then after the person speaks in the next silence, kind of listening for what it is I'm going to say in response. And when you stay open, sometimes I think I'm going to bring something to the group initially, but something that happens in the group process through your sharing triggers something completely different in me and brings up something else, and I end up then being wholly surprised mm-hmm. when it's my turn to share. And you know, maybe you're speaking about struggling with forgiveness, and that reminds me of my issues of forgiveness for the person in my life. And it's like, whoa, I think I need to work on that today too. And I thought I was going to come talk about prayer. You know, yeah. So it's staying open and to the movement of the Spirit throughout.
Looking at this and listening to what you're saying, I think I'm with him about talking.
Yeah.
And I don't usually think of myself as being shy or whatever, but to think about talking for 10 to 15 minutes about an issue that, you know, is
yeah.
deeply important.
Yeah.
Is that a problem for people? Or are there some people who just don't do this sort of thing because of that? Or
that's possible, you know, or who maybe yeah. would find that a group isn't the best way to enter into spiritual direction for them, that they'd be much more comfortable with a one-on-one director. I've also been, again, staying fluid, really try to balance, but there's been times when one person maybe needed more time than others, or when there's a time when I just say, I don't think I need to bring it. And I still gain from being in prayer with other people, from being in that time of silence. But you'd be surprised how quickly 20 minutes of silence goes and how quickly sometimes the 10 minutes. And this isn't hard and fast or meant to be rigid. It's,
so if you only have 5 minutes worth of talking about
you've got 5 minutes. You're a person of few words. Yeah, no, it's not like...
Is there... You said
somebody's
people
not sitting
ask
there and say, no, you have to keep talking. You haven't filled up 10 minutes yet. That would not...
Right.
It would only... Yeah.
I didn't visualize that happening.
The facilitator would be, if you kept talking for 30, would probably say, can you...
Direct.
Kind of, maybe.
Is there... You said people could ask for clarification in
yeah.
that. Is that frequent? Is it... There's kind of some give and take in that.
I think that happens.
For sure.
In my experience, it happens when a group is new to each other more than after we've come to know each other and have kind of learned each other's language, if you will. Maybe you might say something as general as. That just really creates this deep anxiety in me. I might need to say, I'm not sure I understand the anxiety you're describing. Can you say a little bit more about what your body feels like when that's happening for you? What thoughts come to you? What happens for you during that anxiety? To just say
to draw it out.
Is anxiety attention, or is it a hopeful anticipation?
Yeah.
I mean, what does anxiety mean?
Yeah.
Contextually,
yeah. But I'm not sure what kind of, you know, so it can be that kind of clarification.
What are some typical things that people talk about? You were mentioning forgiveness and prayer.
Yeah. Sometimes themes often emerge for us in the group that I'm in. Lack of confidence in ourselves, in our vocational calling, can often be a theme. Another thing that has come up frequently is in people, they are struggling in relationship, whether it's in their family or in their work setting. You know, this is happening for me in relationship with my coworker, and when that happens, I react this way. I don't like myself when that happens, and I don't know how to get out of that. Those kinds of issues. It can be old hurts that emerge that we realize are not healed. And how do we get at those hurts in our lives and bring healing to our lives, past and present, so they don't continue to haunt us in the future. Mm-hmm. I think the assumption is that God is part of all of life, and that God is there in the everyday, the ordinary times, as well as the times that we sometimes think of as our God times. Sometimes people are really struggling in the congregation that they're part of, and you know, they've been there a long time, and not sure whether they should leave and find a new place and how do I find that. Some people are struggling with theological issues, and I'm just not sure I believe something that I thought I believed in my whole life. I'm not sure I believe that anymore. So it can be a struggle with a belief, I'm not sure I believe in God at all right now. You know, who God is, who is God for me? I've always had, and sometimes when we let go of a particular image of God or a way of thinking about God, and we know we're being nudged to move to a new place, but there are old tapes that say somehow there's something wrong with that, and then there can be guilt associated with not believing the way we used to believe because that's how we were taught to believe. You know, or had some real authority figures in our life who said, this is how you understand scripture, or this is how you pray, or this is how you think about Jesus or God or whatever. So can be so many different things.
One of the things that you mentioned was like when you're struggling with a relationship or something like that. And earlier you said that this is not a counseling sort of a situation. So how do you, that sounds like sort of a fine line.
It is a fine line. And that's probably one of the hardest discernments sometimes. But sometimes it can be, what it can be is saying, it really sounds like that's something that is causing you spiritual pain, but also maybe God is really telling you that you need to seek counseling. You know, and that we need to, it's a whole nother thing that I wanted to talk about. Time goes so quickly in these sessions. is that we talk about being there to support each other, but there's a word that we're often not comfortable with in relationship to one another, and that is to mutually admonish one another. It's kind of an old-fashioned word that we sometimes, when I think of being admonished, it means being scolded. You know, and my mother would admonish me about something. But when we think of kind of really intentional Christian community, and a group spiritual direction group is a real in-depth experience in a kind of community. Part of what we might also be called to do is to admonish in the sense of the word, and I'm going to go to my notes here a minute. The means by which we assist one another in recognizing the unique ways of God's leading in our lives, and holding each other accountable for that. You said you wanted to pray more. Have you been finding the time to do that? And what's keeping you from it? And ask, you know, what's happening that even though you say you want a more of a relationship with God and you want to spend more time in prayer, and then month after month, we're here, you say that over and over again, and so what's going on? You know, what's happening? And so we hold each other accountable and just do that. And so that's, I don't think that's so much giving advice as helping me to be what I want to be. And or saying, maybe did we identify the wrong thing for you? Maybe you talked about that. Maybe that's not what you need at all. Let's pray together about what it is God is leading you to or wants more of for you in your life. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
At our church, we did some training with pastoral partners. I don't know if you're familiar with that. But it kind of sounds like it's the same thing. It's one-on-one.
Okay.
It can be. And mainly you listen to the other person.
Sounds kind of a partnership. In relation, I'm not familiar with the model you're describing, but it does sound similar.
Yeah, it's just that our church is growing and the pastor can't get around everybody, so we kind of, we have families that sign to us and, you know, and we try to contact with them once a month through the phone or however. And then if it's a big problem, then we alert the pastor.
And that can be kind of an extension of a whole network of pastoral care in a congregation, the same as with Stephen Ministries or other things like that, too. And a way of alerting for needs for pastoral care. I think in spiritual direction and group spiritual direction, I would say it's not so much problem-oriented necessarily, or as how do I deepen my walk with God? It's about our spiritual journey and our desire to be.
Because that's sort of what I was expecting when I came in here, is how can I, guess I didn't notice the word group. Maybe that was my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, how do I know, I consider myself very spiritual, but am I going in the direction God wants me to?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know?
And that is, you're asking a discernment question.
I probably will know when I need to know.
And discernment is certainly often, you know, probably the most common area of conversation in spiritual direction and in group. I mean, really, a lot of the questions are questions of discernment, of knowing, you know, classically, separating the good spirits, the spirit of God working, and evil spirits in the most tradition, you know, or pride, selfishness, all those negative things that work against God being able to summon out all that we should be. I want to just kind of, say a little bit more about a prayerful presence and prayerful listening. And just if I might, and I think it's from this book, it might also be from something else that I read, but when I was, they talk about intercessory prayer, and Rosemary Doherty, who developed this model,
when I, she actually was the person I trained with through the Shalem Institute, I think I had always thought of intercessory prayer as, in a way, my praying on behalf of another. But she distinguishes between prayers of petition and an intercessory prayer stance. And I think what I've before, and I don't want to get caught up in definitions of different kinds of prayer. That's not the point, what I want to say. But then oftentimes when we intercede for others, we do that by petitioning God with particular concerns. So if you're sick, I will pray for you in your illness that you might find healing, that the doctors treating you might be given every wisdom, and that God, if it's God's will, would heal you. And that's praying for you, interceding for you with God, but kind of making my particular agenda known to God in a petition sort of way. When they speak about intercessory prayer, they mean, and they use the phrase, making oneself radically available to God on behalf of the other. And saying in our prayer during that time of silence, we set aside our own agenda and desires and say, God, what is your prayer? And how can I be kind of your intermediary in this? You know, it's kind of that thing of being the priesthood of all believers and being Christ, bearing Christ for one another. And how do we do that? How do we let the Spirit work within us so that when sometimes we can't hear God just in the silence, the other person can help bring some words to that. It doesn't mean we're trying to play God. It just means we open ourselves to God and trust that God does dwell within each of us and that each of us are wisdom bearers, spirit bearers to one another. The hour has kind of flown by for me. If any of you, as I said, if you would like to have more conversation about one-on-one spiritual direction, just find me, sign up for a time. If any of you would like to experience a session of group spiritual direction, we need to block out a more, the times that are on the kiosk are 1 hour times. But if there was a group that wanted to meet, it would be, you could sign up, an ideal time would be like 3 o'clock, because then we'd have from 3 to 5 before supper. Or I can rearrange if there's blank spaces and there's a, I don't remember how she arranged my schedule, but a 9 o'clock and a 10:45, just block out, or a 1 and a 2:30, just block out 2 of them and say a group, you know, and put group, and then we can do a group instead. More than delighted to...
Are you asking for volunteers now?
You're certainly welcome to volunteer, you know, just a couple, you know.
I'd like to kind of see where that would take me.
Okay.